It takes us all the way back to the beginning of creation. It takes us all the way to Genesis. And if you do open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, please do open to Genesis chapter 3. In the book of Genesis, if you do not have a Bible, there is one in front of you, under the seat in front of you. Please feel free and get a copy of a Bible and open to Genesis chapter 3. From the creation story all the way from Genesis, we do understand that God created his perfect world. He literally did say after creation that it was good. And so when God says something is good, it is good because he is holy. He is pure. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is all-sufficient. And so when God says something is good, it is good. Whether it is good in your eyes or not good in your eyes, so long as God affirms that this is good, that is what goes. And so God created his perfect world, and he said it was good. And he gave human beings, he created his garden, the Garden of Eden, and he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them a command that they can eat everything in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil they should never touch, because from the time that they touch and eat, they shall die. You see, the death that is there is in two ways. Spiritual separation from God. Basically, when you eat this, you shall become sinful. You shall become a way that I, God, do not like, because I do not want to relate with that which opposes me. And by that, I will be separate from you and you will be separate from me. And so you will die. The connection will not be there anymore between me and you. That is spiritual death. Not just that it will continue to physical death, that you will die on this earth. That wasn't the initial plan. And so coming to Genesis chapter 3, let's read to 7, just to give us an idea of what happened. Chapter 3 says, now, when God had planted his garden and everything nice, human beings were living at peace with God, suddenly something happens in the book Genesis chapter 3. Now see what happened. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the tree of the tree, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Lest you what? You die. You get separated from me. Then the verse 4, he says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. You see how human beings focused on that which wasn't necessary. The writing here points to a few things. In the first place, they were given authority over the serpent, over every animal in the garden. They had control over every animal. And a snake started to speak to them. A serpent started to speak to them. You would think that they would have said to the serpent, "How dare you speak? Shut up." But no, they entertained the conversation of the serpent. And not just that, the serpent pointed out certain things. If you eat of this, you will not die. God is lying. You will become wise like God. And so the moment they saw that they can become wise like God, it became pleasant to them. Suddenly, the plant that they were always walking by started to seem to be food for them. And they ate it. And the word of God says that they sinned against God because they listened to the voice of Satan. That in itself brought an enmity between God and humankind. And if you do have time, continue to read the passage and study on this passage. God literally sacked them from the garden and he protected the garden. And from then, God initiated another plan. If human beings have sinned and have become separated from me, I love them regardless. I love them. I care for them. I want their well-being because I am the God of love. And so I am going to go after them. Even though they sinned against me, I am still going after them to reconcile them to myself, to begin a relationship with them, and to let them know that there is another way out. And so God started a whole process through Abraham to draw humankind to himself, to bring us back into that loving relationship that we lost through Adam and Eve. Now, for God to really make it known to human beings that I am loving you and I want to draw you close to myself, he also then started speaking through certain people what was going to happen. That there was going to be somebody that will come into this world that will come and unite all humankind to God. That humans will not be separated from God anymore, and God will not be separated from them anymore, and that he will show them mercy and love and compassion. And this person was in the person of Jesus Christ. God spoke through a lot of many people, a lot of different prophets, different prophets, different people, people who never related to one another, people who never knew one another, over a generation, generations of generation. We are talking of about 600 to 1,000 years through different people that the Savior was going to come. The Savior was going to come. This is amazing. When you look at how the prophecies were different and different kinds of people, all great and small people, prophesied about the Savior. God literally spoke through them. The Holy Spirit spoke through them. And as we go through this series, I will also be pointing out the work of the Holy Spirit in the process of Jesus' birth. And this is one part of it. The prophecies were all influenced by the Holy Spirit. The people that spoke of Jesus' coming were all influenced by the Holy Spirit. Which is why in this modern day, we cannot also live our life without the Holy Spirit. And so now, having looked at why we needed the Savior, why this prophecy was important, let's look at some of the prophecies. We are going to look at nine of them. We're going to look at nine of them. They're very short. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. We know Jesus was of Jewish descendant and therefore was the seed of Abraham. The word says, we are told that through Abraham's offspring, now I quote, all nations on earth will be blessed. Christians believe Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. In Genesis, this prophecy is given. And Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. Again, when you look at Numbers 24, verse 2, the second prophecy, we also know that he is from the line of Jacob, Abraham's grandson. Numbers 24:17 says, I see him, quote, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of what? Israel. A scepter will rise out of Israel. This one is going to be of the lineage of Jacob. And God promised this, he said this, and it came to pass just as it is in the person of Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus Christ. Again, let's look at the third prophecy. Isaiah 11 verse 1. Isaiah 11 verse 1. I quote, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon the son of Jesse. This son of Jesse, we all know, Jesus himself, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he himself proclaimed, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me to heal the sick. No wonder that Jesus did all the great and miraculous things that he did, because it was prophesied that he was going to be that person. And this prophecy was said years, years and years before Jesus even appeared in the scene physically. This should tell you something. What is God saying to you? What are you hearing God say to you? Do you believe the things that God is saying to you? Do you believe the Bible that it will come to pass? Today, we are seated here. We are preparing ourselves for 25th of December. I bet some of you have already started looking at the best turkey that you will buy. Some of you are thinking of the meat that you will get. A day that is set aside to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a journey to this place. Many went through a lot. Many saw a lot and prophesied it. Never believe the lie that Jesus hasn't come. Never believe the lie that the Savior has not come. There are some people, there are some religions which are still waiting for the Messiah, the Savior, but the Savior has already come. And prophecy, all the things that were said, has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. His birth is worthy of celebrating. His birth is worthy of rejoicing. Many will tell you stories. Oh, even Christmas is a pagan thing. And okay, good. Give me all the facts. I am not saying I'm worshiping a pagan thing. I'm just saying I want to set a day apart to remember the birth of my Lord. Does it care? Does it matter when? I always say, I have an evangelist brother-in-law who always says, every day should be Christmas. But that one day that is set aside corporately for all of us to celebrate, I am not going to allow the devil to mislead me and to tell me that I am not supposed to celebrate it. I remember when I was in the world and I had to go to the nightclub. That's why I like to dress to church. Because when I was in the world, I used to wear my best to the nightclub. And I dare you, when I enter there, you better know I'm in town. And so now that I've given my life to Jesus, I say to myself, I mean, when I was in the world, I was even looking better to church, to the nightclub. Why should I not look better to church, to go and worship my Lord? That is my own principle. I'm not saying do it like I do. I prefer it this way. Be yourself. But I am me this way. You understand? Anything to do with Jesus, I hold on to, I cherish, I love, because this Jesus is real. The name Jesus is the real deal. And don't let anyone mislead you and tell you that Jesus has not come. Look at the fourth prophecy. Jeremiah 23:5-6. We know he is from the line of King David. I quote, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. The Lord, our righteous Savior. Jesus himself, when he was on this earth, he said, the prince of this world comes, but he finds nothing of his in me. Jesus was holy. Jesus was pure. No wonder that the writer also says that he was of man. He was tempted of all levels, but he is without a sin. Prophecy fulfilled in Jesus again. Again, referring that Jesus is from the line of King David, we have this prophecy from 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, please make notes. Yeah? Please make notes. Go home, sit down, study on these things, reflect on them, and allow God to speak to you. You can also go to our website, www.whccag.org. Listen to it, make notes, study on these things, and come to believe that the name Jesus, the person Jesus you have accepted, is really the person and not some fake, some counterfeit person you are believing in. Yeah? Come to believe it yourself. And so when you read 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 13, it quotes, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. No king on this earth's kingdom is forever, but the kingdom, the king of who? The king of kings, the Lord of lords. His name is what? Jesus. His name is Jesus. The fifth prophecy is from Micah. Micah 5, verse 2. We know he was born into the tribe of Judah in the region of Ephrata, in the town of Bethlehem. But you, now I quote, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Even before the foundation of the earth, Jesus Christ existed. He's from the ancient times. He's the man of the spirit and equally man. This is amazing. The sixth prophecy says, and it is from Isaiah 7 verse 14. We know that he was born from a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be a child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel means God with us and indicates the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just Jesus. He's divine. He's God with us. God that manifested himself fleshly and dwelt among humankind. And so, in remembering Jesus, in celebrating his birth, it has to be important to you that you are worshiping your God. Don't say you are worshiping the supreme God without believing that Jesus is the supreme God. You have missed the mark. And the seventh prophecy is this. It's from Psalm 72, 9 to 10. That Jesus would be worshipped by shepherds from the what? Desert, and foreign kings would present gifts to him in is revealed. Psalm 72, 9 to 10. It says, may the desert tribes bowed before him and his enemies like the dust. May the king of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. That's another prophecy about Jesus. And the word of God says that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Prophecy fulfilled again. Where would you mention the name of Jesus for something to try and stand against him? Many have tried and many have fallen. The name of Jesus exists then and now. It is still a supreme name. That person, Jesus, deserves our worshiping and our honoring and our opening up and allowing him to come and dwell with us in our hearts. Beloveds, believe this. Christmas is not a joke. The devil will try all that he wants to do to take away from the importance, the uniqueness, the power, and the authority that is of the name of Jesus Christ, that is of Christmas. But never give him way this way in your heart. Christmas is not about the gifts that we give to people. Even though it is to symbolize the gift, God's supreme gift that he gave us in Jesus, it is not what it is about. It is first from your heart how you see this God, his name being Jesus. How do you value Jesus? What do you think when Jesus is mentioned? And then the eighth prophecy. Jeremiah 31 verse 15. When Jesus was born, King Herod slaughtered a number of children in an attempt to kill him. I will elaborate more on this in the fourth series. Serious. The devil tried to hinder Jesus from being born. And it is written here, Jeremiah 31, 15. God opened his eyes to see in the future what was about to happen. And he said, a voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her child and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Herod was a wicked king. He killed as many as over 2,000 children because of one king that was born. And this prophecy was given years even before then. But yet still, it has happened. Don't be sitting there waiting for any Messiah. Jesus has come. He has died. He has resurrected. And he has gone to be with the Father. He is still seated on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for me and you. My dear sister, my dear brother, we can make it to heaven. By believing in Jesus, we will make it to heaven. We are not cut off from the Father anymore. We are not dead because we have accepted Jesus' message. We have accepted who he is. And he is our Lord and we are living for him. We are not dead. I live. You live if you believe. You live. And the ninth prophecy. In response to the attempt on the life of Jesus, Joseph is warned in a dream to take Jesus to Egypt. Can you imagine this? Another prophet prophesied that Joseph was going to be warned, and it happened. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. He was going to be killed, and his father was warned by an angel in a dream, take your kid and run to Egypt. And it is prophesied here. God loving Jesus so much, he warned his father to move him. What warnings are you not listening from God? Be careful and pay attention to warnings, prophetic warnings, dreams that you dream. God still speaks. Prophecy is real. I can't tell you the number of times myself I am a witness to that which I believe God told me and I told somebody and it came to pass. I can't tell you the number of times people have said stuff to me and it has come to pass in my own personal life. I'm telling you, these things are real. It is true. Don't be misled. There is a teaching going on that the age of prophetic utterances and the age of prophetic visions are no more. It's a lie. If you believe in God, the Spirit of God dwells with you. He will give you these things. He will show you these things. He will open your eyes and you will see into the future. Child of God. From these few points I have raised here, you see that Jesus is all. This is just about his birth. We haven't even gone through the facts about his murder and all that went on. Study the word of God. It was the most, I don't even have English word for it, the most lie on earth to catch somebody and murder the person publicly and say that he's guilty of a sin. What did Jesus do? But as a sheep, he was led to the slaughter for me and you. My dear brothers and my sisters, this message I brought has come to an end. But you need to set your heart. You need to set yourself. These things about Jesus, this Jesus that we talk about, is it really true in your heart? Is it really happening in your heart? Is something telling you that, look, it's important that this Jesus, I need to take him seriously. These things were said years, thousands of years, and it happened. How is your relationship with this Lord Jesus? He is coming to reconcile me and you to the Father. Have you accepted him and yet still living your own life? Does he have a voice in your ear? Like our forefathers did, Adam and Eve allowed Satan to speak to them. Are you paying attention to Satan? Is something else tantalizing to you? Is something else interesting to you more than this Jesus? Are you captivated by Jesus? This Christmas that we are in, how do you feel? Do you feel that it is a season that you need to draw closer to the Lord? Do you really believe that you are celebrating, you are in the period of celebrating the birth of your Savior? It is real. It was prophesied years and it has come to pass. Search your heart. Ask for forgiveness where you need to ask for forgiveness. And renew, rekindle your relationship with Jesus. And ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and give you the grace to be able to live for Jesus. Let us pray in Jesus' name.